Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Are you ready? The Cornelia Stephanie Show, Wake Up to Love, Your Call to Action. Join Cornelia as she empowers others to live heaven on earth. Cornelia teaches listeners how to be the authority over yourself, embracing your inner guru. Feel yourself uplifted into limitless expansion, integrating ease and grace in a changing world. This show will cover topics such as unconditional love, your physical body, how to be in extraordinary relationships, create financial and emotional wealth, embracing entrepreneurship in the new earth.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Cornelia Stephanie Show, Living Heaven on Earth. And welcome to the end of 2018 and yay to 2019, right? We are just so ready and so excited about this new year that we're about to embark on, and it's going to be an extraordinary year for all of us. The show topic that we have on the show here today is unlike any other we've had in the past, and I'm really, really, really excited about the topic that we have and about my new co-host that I'm going to introduce you to in just a few moments when he comes back online, because prior to us getting online today, there was a circuit breaker mix-up in his house, and he is working on it to get back online so that we can deliver you this amazing message that he has to share with us. His name is Dennis Gaither. And his topic today is about being a grassroots global citizen diplomat. Being a grassroots global citizen diplomat. What does that mean? Grassroots citizen diplomacy is about bringing people of diverse cultural, ethnic, religious, and economic backgrounds together. I believe, this is Dennis's words, Dennis believes that person-to-person exchanges bring grassroots understanding and weave a living global neighborhood that brings wisdom and healing to us all. When we bring ourselves with open hearts, listening ears, and ready hands, we are deeply touched and transformed by each other's stories and by the sweetness of essence in every being. I just love this because that is really our way in the new earth, coming together, supporting each other, loving each other, honoring each other. And what is the speaking word? What is the word? You know, light hands make many work.
Many hands make light work.
What is it?
Many hands make light work.
Many hands make light work. Many hands make light work. And I mean, I love that because light work, and that's what we are. We are working the light. So I just, let me introduce you to Dennis, because you did hear him in the background here. But first, before I bring him on, I have to tell you his amazing bio. So just bear with me for a second. Dennis is now my co-host. You're going to be with him every Friday now, the last Friday of the month on the Heaven on Earth show for the next 6 months. So be sure to tune in. And actually, today we want you to call into the show, 1-800-930-2819. We want you to call in and talk to Dennis at any time that you feel like you want to share something about what he's talking about, or you have a question to ask him, please feel free to call us. 1-800-930-2819. For Dennis, the process of healing is a sacred endeavor, a meeting place of shared purpose and intention. His work draws upon decades of spiritual practice and universal principles of mindfulness, nonviolence, organicity, unity, and mind-body holism. He is a senior Hakomi trainer and a founding member of the Seattle Hakomi Education Network. He's also a board-certified psychiatrist and an ordained ministerial counselor. He has over the last 15 years of experience leading workshops, trainings, and classes on mindfulness, psychotherapy, and the healing power of forgiveness. As part of his journey, he spent some very interesting, tough, at times intense years as an ER doc in Alaska and a GP on the Wind River Reservation in Wyoming. He has recently returned from a very moving humanitarian grassroots diplomacy project in Kashmir, India, with Global Citizen Journey. At this point in his life, he finds great fulfillment in the simple witnessing of a being's blossoming into the fullness that they truly are. And it's my honor, great honor, and my pleasure to welcome Dennis Gaither to the Living Heaven on Earth show. Welcome, Dennis.
Thank you, Cornelia. Thank you. What a heartfelt welcome. I appreciate that so much. Thank you.
Yes. It's so wonderful to have you because you and I are also friends.
That's right.
And we're friends, and I'm just delighted that we're doing this together, and I'm delighted that you said yes to bring this message out. Mm-hmm. I was with you while you were preparing for your trip to India in Kashmir, and I didn't go with you, but I was with you in the preparation of it because there was fundraising and there was all kinds of preparations that were going on prior to the event.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about this. So tell us a little bit about why this is needed now.
Okay, cool. So Carter, I wonder if you could, do you have the images that I sent?
They're already being displayed. Carter, do you have the images?
The first one?
I sure do.
Okay.
First one. A quote from Rabindranath Tagore, whom I greatly admire.
Speak up a little bit,
okay.
A little louder.
All right. I'll talk a little bit louder. Getting
yep.
That better?
Yep.
Okay. So I'll read you the quote here, though, that it is a beautiful one. Is once we dreamt that we were strangers, but when we wake up, we find that we're dear to one another.
Yes.
And so much of that is what I think Global Citizen grassroots diplomacy is about, is not becoming strangers to one another. When we don't know each other, when we deny our common humanity, we are strangers. But it is in dialogue and communication, in meeting one another face to face as human beings, that we really know our common humanity, that we're no longer quite so separate, and then real solutions start to become possible. As long as we think we're a bunch of separate individuals competing with each other, real solutions really just don't happen. We get in each other's way, in our own way.
That's so true. I just posted a post on Facebook this morning that was talking about the whole piece about competition. And my wording behind that is that there is no competition on the spiritual plane, and we are living the spiritual life. That is what we're doing here now. We're bringing that, grounding that in. And what you're talking about is really bringing our humanity, meeting our humanity, because we're so capable and so able to love each other and mm-hmm. to support each other, because we all want to belong, don't we?
And a way of bringing our humanity is to be a compassionate presence, especially in the face of situations where people may be suffering, of being a compassionate witnessing presence.
Yeah, and I bet you saw a lot of that suffering when you were on your trip. But we can talk about that in a little while. So, grassroots diplomacy. How can people help? How can they get started in that?
Well, there are, I guess, a number of different ways. The way that I got started, there's a group in a Seattle-based organization called Global Citizen Journey. And I've been gosh, I went on my first project with them in Nigeria back in 2005, and a subsequent one in Ghana in 2006, and then this most recent one in Kashmir.
Okay. And so the grassroots, what is the website again in Seattle? Let's say it again, .com?
Yeah, it's just globalcitizenjourney.org, I think it is.
Okay.
If you Google Global Citizen Journey, you will get them.
Okay. And so globalcitizenjourney.org, and so and they organize these trips around the world in places where people are needed to come and bring their money.
I can tell you a little bit about just my own first experience with them.
Yeah.
And really that started. It started with just a phone call from a friend who I was actually in Keele, Wisconsin. I was teaching a workshop in forgiveness there. And the friend called me and said, there's a forgiveness project in Africa. Are you interested? That was the way she framed it to me. And I said, yes. And I came back to Seattle and went to a meeting and heard about the model, which was that there was a service project, which in that case involved doing fundraising and other kinds of things. To provide building of a library in a remote village in Nigeria, in the Niger Delta. Politically very complex area, and all these projects are in places where there is some sense of conflict.
Wow.
In that area, there had been civil war for a long time, conflict with oil interests, pollution, inability to keep a subsistence lifestyle. And so but there was also the part that really moved me the most here was the grassroots diplomacy, that there would be, in that case, about 15 North American delegates and about a similar number from Africa, different parts of Nigeria, representing different groups, rival tribes, rival religions. And we would meet together, be in circles together, work together for a period of, it was about 3 weeks.
Wow.
And that, I thought that was a brilliant model, actually, a tangible service project, but also a lot of connecting, developing relationships. And that's really been the model throughout all of the projects that I've been involved with.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's brilliant, and I think it works.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you're launching this. You're part of the show, this segment with this, because this really, again, inspires. It inspires people that really want to contribute and that really want to be active and support and help. And I know that you had invited me to go, and I wasn't ready to go because I had too many things going on here that I couldn't go. But now again, I'm feeling that call, and I definitely want to go. Are you going to go back?
I'm thinking about it. I probably will at some point. You know, maybe a little different kind of project that I would be, I'm thinking about. I can go into that a little bit later here in the,
yeah.
Provide a little more background to Kashmir first though.
Okay. I just want to, you know, give you the heads up right now that for the next project that you're going to go to, invite me. So,
okay.
Yeah. So I think we're, I want people to call in. Let's see. I want people to call in. 1-800-930-2819. And if they have any questions, they want to talk to Dennis Gaither, please feel free to call in. We are talking about Kashmir. And so tell us a little bit more about your personal story and how you got started in all of this.
Okay. All right. So, first of all, a little bit about the situation in Kashmir, and that it's a place that it's actually a beautiful part of the world. It's very scenic mountains and lakes, but it's also a place where there has been conflict for about the last 30 years. It's politically very complex. It's kind of a border zone battleground between India, Pakistan, and China also claims part of the territory. There's a lot of strife there. It's certain kind of the boundary line. There are a lot of landmines. The conflict has influenced the economy, so that the tourism economy is really almost non-existent. It's almost impossible to get an education there. I talked to people who took 5 years to get a two-year degree because of all the shutdowns. There are shutdowns and curfews and unrest, and a presence of soldiers, a military presence that's there. And to the Kashmiris, they perceive that as an occupation. So that's what it feels like to them. They see themselves as really not affiliated with any of these countries, as more of an independent group. So, but the long conflict has consequences. There's a lot of grief. There's a lot of trauma. Just about everybody has lost somebody. People have experienced being arrested or tortured. People have disappeared, and at least families wondering where they went. So there's a situation there that there is really a collective trauma, a collective grief. So where I became involved was I heard about the project, and one of the things that we do with these projects is we're always working with a local organization whose values are really in line with ours. And in this case, the local organization is ELFA, E-L-F-A, Education and Livelihood for All. And they're a humanitarian organization, and we work very closely with them. They had already been in place there. Part of our goal there was to support them in their work, both through some fundraising and financing for part of a project, which I'll talk about in a moment, but also just being a presence with them. A lot of the diplomacy, grassroots diplomacy part, involved meeting in circles with a lot of the people from the delegates from Kashmir, but there were about 12, 13. Practicing compassionate listening, hearing people's stories, being a compassionate witness.
Isn't that where the healing takes place for the person that is, you know, in the suffering, and that they need that witness to have hold space for them while they share their story.
Yeah, I have a couple of images there, Carter, if you're able to. There was the one that's number 3 there. And I don't know if you're able to show that one or not. I can't see it on my screen. There you go.
Good. Number 3. And so what we can't see it, but it's
definitely being shown. Oh, okay. I see it. Okay, cool.
It's on video. What
number 3 is basically is the picture of Imran Khan, who is the director of ELFA. And then Irene Bichon, who is a co-director of our program as well. And then the next, number 4, please. And that's an image of Moran. This was at a meeting. This was at a college where he graduated. And we were hearing just a lot from one of many meetings, just about just the difficulties of getting an education, living in a state of fear much of the time, classes disrupted. It was a very impassioned kind of meeting. There were probably about 50 people there. And the gentleman on the right is Moran. Wait a minute, I think I have the... I'm sorry. Since I can't see the images, I may have the wrong one. This, I think image 4 is just Moran with one of the children in one of the schools that we went to. So, and the next one, image 5, is Moran at the meeting. So,
what touched you personally, you know, while you were over there, like what is the thing that touched you most personally?
There were, oh my gosh, so many things. Certainly just being with the Kashmiri people and with the delegates there from all over, from all different parts of Kashmir, some were Muslim. There were a couple of people that were Hindu or Christian, people from different parts of India. And people from Kashmir, Jammu, Ladakh, just being together with these people. They were all really in some way very interested in being global delegates. They were warm-hearted, and fun to be with, really. But they also had some pretty tender stories to tell as well of what their situation was like. And being in a small group and just really, you know, experiencing people willing to just come forth with just the grief that they've been holding in a trusting way and feeling some relief with that was really moving. That was, and then, but also just the determination of the people there. The beauty, I actually just love the sights and sounds of the place. You know, the calls to prayer early in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, I thought it was beautiful and resonant. The beautiful place. And visiting with the children in the schools too. I have some images from that we'll come to a little bit later, but that was part of our project, was involving fundraising, which I did a number of different ways by contributing a fair amount of my own funds, asking others, friends and others to contribute, and doing a benefit workshop called You've Not Lost Your Innocence, a workshop on forgiveness.
And well, I want to intercept too by, you know, just saying how amazingly generous you are, Dennis, because I know that you were getting ready to go for this trip. Before you even did the fundraiser to raise the funds, because I think you needed to raise something like $3,000 or $5,000.
Oh, I wound up going over that, yes.
Yeah, you ended up going over it, and it was like, okay, are people really going to donate, and are you really going to make it? And
they did, absolutely.
They did, but you know, I remember you saying that if they don't, the rest is going to come out of my pocket, because I'm going to do this. And that's again, your amazing generosity. I just want to highlight that. And so the type of person that you are and how sincere you are at, you know, being that diplomat that you're talking about, for us all to be inspired by. And so I just want to thank you for doing that. And yes, of course you went beyond the money that you needed to raise, because people really do give, don't they?
They do. I felt really strongly of the value of this project, especially having been on some before. And the money went for, part of it was just to provide basic amenities for specifically two schools in a rural part of Kashmir, just outside of the capital, Srinagar. I mean, the kids had been sitting on cold cement floors on a cement block. And so for many of these kids, it was the first time they ever got to sit on a desk at school.
Wow.
And and some basic notebooks, basic amenities for the kids. But, and also we did a lot of we all invited friends or ourselves to bring warm clothing. Kashmir gets cold winters. It's fairly far north. It's high elevation. You know, they have snow in the winter, and most of the buildings are not heated.
How were your accommodations?
I thought they were basic, but perfectly adequate. You know, there was no heat in anything, and it was cold at night, but that was fine. I was certainly, you know, I guess by the standards of traveling in the United States, it was probably a little bit on the basic side, but by the local standards, it was actually quite nice. So I was fine.
You were fine.
And I enjoyed, I shared room space with different people at different times, and they were all delightful. Delightful. Wish if we had more time, I would talk more about some of them, but maybe I can talk about one of them, though. One of them was a standout, and his name was Mangesh. And he was a young man, about 24 years old, who had the most amazing story. He was born in the untouchable caste and spent his early years of his life begging for food, and was often, you know, kind of despised because of his caste. And was taken in by Sister Lucy of Bahair, who has a system of orphanages in India. And like all of the children there, shown a great deal of love and respect and care. And you know, Mangesh is just, he just blossomed. He's just absolutely one of the most joyful, positive, absolutely grateful for everything people. And he was like 24 years old, wise beyond his years, and really an inspiration. I was delighted to meet him. I'm looking forward to, I think he's planning to come to this area for a visit this summer.
Oh, good. So, when he comes, I want to meet him. I definitely want to meet him.
Okay.
You know, I love meeting people. I love being around people that are really expressing the gratitude and the joy.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's a lot of us we forget to celebrate the amazing, life that we're living and all the good things that are happening and the abundance that's in our life, right? And this young man that you're talking about, how he is just, he's blossoming when he has food. He's blossoming when he has his basic amenities and he's in community and he's a joy to be around. And wow.
Truly. Truly. There are pictures of him and I together on my Facebook page. I don't have any to show you today, but you can look on my Facebook page.
Dennis Gaither Facebook. That's where you can see Dennis on Facebook. So you're welcome.
That's where.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Dennis, I think we should go to break. I think we're going to take a break.
Cool.
We have a little bit. What would you say inspired you the most, from your trip? Like, what was the thing that inspired you the most?
It would be the people, both as a whole, but individually as well. Certainly Mangesh was someone that really inspired me. The Alpha director, Imran Khan, truly just a natural leader and very compassionate man. Very Alpha really works a lot with people that are victims of the trauma there, particularly children, and also very concerned about the situation with women there. And that was also a major focus of the work as well.
That's a big topic. That's going to be, the women and the children. I'd love it if we did another segment just on that alone for the next show, possibly, where we can really go into that. Because that's one of the things that I feel strongly is that, countries like that where their emotional suppression hasn't been acknowledged, and the women haven't been valued and honored. The children haven't been valued and honored. And that's, where my heart is really.
I know that. Yeah.
Right. So I would love that if we focused on that maybe for another time to really, bring value and bring acknowledgement to that. So right now we're going to take a break on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. I'm with my new co-host, Dennis Gaither, and we're talking about global diplomacy and how to be one and why that is needed right now. So we'll be right back. Thanks for joining us.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
A space of allowing radio with Coach Nancy Coco, welcoming all that wants to be present today. Tune in Thursdays every first and third week at 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com as Coach Nancy helps you find a space of allowing. Join Coach Nancy to explore what lives at your edges and to bring more of yourself home. For more information, visit NancyCocoCoaching.com.
Demystifying the journey on From Here to There Radio with your host, Diane Garris. Tune in every third Wednesday, 4 p.m. Pacific Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com as Diane helps you get from where you are now to the life you envision. Get ready to get unstuck and move forward. Every show features a new special segment, New Age Notes, demystifying hot, metaphysical topics of the day. For more information or to work with Diane, visit DianeGarris.com.
Have you been searching for a push to step out and share your gifts with the world? Allow Charlene Hess to empower you to start shedding the layers of your ego that are holding you back and begin feeling connected to your heart so that you can shine your unique divine light and share your gifts with the world. Tune in to the Charlene Hess Show, Living on Your Heart's Edge, every first and third Friday at noon Pacific on transformationtalkradio.com. For more information, visit charlenehess.com.
Charlene Hess is a redheaded powerhouse of energy, love, and light. As a hairstylist, personal trainer, and life coach, she empowers people to develop a deeper connection with themselves mentally, emotionally, and physically. Join Charlene the third Friday of each month on The Cornelia Stephanie Show. Get ready to experience your highest self, find your purpose, and discover your calling. You too can become unstoppable, shining your light and sharing your gift. Visit Charlene at charlenehess.com.
Would you like your next chapter to be free from fear and angst? Tune in to Your Next Chapter Radio, navigating through life's transitions with Shelley Ryan the fourth Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific on transformationtalkradio.com. Shelley's contagious enthusiasm guides you through life's transitions deliberately, mindfully, and funnily. For Your Next Chapter coaching or to listen, visit yournextchaptercoaching.com or call 602-617-8351. Next!
Welcome back. You're listening to The Cornelia Stephanie Show, and I'm with Dennis Gaither. We're talking about his recent project when he went to Kashmir, India. And Dennis, tell us, what was the purpose of this trip? What was the purpose behind this all for you?
For me personally, it was, one was to support a group that is doing humanitarian work in a part, of the world. And, but also it really is my own personal motivation of a more peaceful world. And by getting to know each other, by developing relationships and contact with one another, we really know each other as people. And it was an opportunity. There's a part of me that kind of has a little adventurous side, wanted to go to a place that was new and different. And I've been to India before, not that part of India, southern India, and I actually love the experience there. I love the travel. So there were personal motivations as well, but there's also a sense of calling. And for me, there was like a little presence inside, like guidance, you could call it, that just says go.
Yeah, I love that.
And so it's like, okay, that probably is the real reason. but we'll see what continues to unfold with that. There were a number of different specific parts of the project. One of them was that inviting delegates from various parts of the Kashmir area in India to be together. Part of our fundraising went to actually support them in that because we lived and worked together for the time that we were there, and involved supporting the local schools, those schools, both with a physical presence and with continued support. And I would say that has continued, that even after the project was over and our delegation has left, but there's continued ongoing involvement with the schools there, with ELFA primarily. And the other was, there was an environmental aspect of it as well. And it took the form specifically of a project involving Dal Lake. Dal Lake is this beautiful, iconic lake. And
I see some pictures with a canoe?
Yeah.
Lake.
It was image 10.
Image 10. I thought that was you in the canoe, was it?
No, it wasn't.
You were taking the picture.
Yeah, so that's Dal Lake. And so it's a beautiful lake surrounded by mountains. It's sort of like almost like the symbol of Srinagar. It's a really iconic lake, but it suffered the effects of urbanization and it's gotten pretty polluted.
Mm.
And it's been a long concern of a lot of people there. And, you know, with ELFA and our group coordinated having a town hall meeting, which involved some of the stakeholders, people that had an interest in the lake and what was going on there, doing. And also it was at a school, and we had a lot of the kind of middle school and high school level students getting very involved, actually, which was really delightful for me to see. And then breaking into small groups, doing some problem solving, and it was really like a really raising the community vibe, interest in the status of the lake. But then the next day, we actually did a cleanup where we all were out in these little canoes. That would be image 11. And using various little implements in these little small canoe-like boats. I don't think they called them that, but just kind of going around picking up things out of the lake.
I saw that. I thought, are those empty water bottles? What are they doing?
There are all kinds of things. There's not really a good trash collection system there, so things tend to wind up in the lake. And it was sort of we collected a lot of stuff there. My implement was a stick about maybe a meter and a half long with a nail through the end of it. And my guide paddled around, and I was just picking things up with the stick, filled up the boat.
But, I just want to ask you this. I mean, if you all weren't there to do it, would it get done?
In some way it would, but it actually has gotten done since we left, because there have been other cleanup projects. And it's not like we went in and sort of did this. It was our whole delegation, the Kashmiris and us together. So a lot of what we're doing here is we're supporting Alpha to continue on and both some assistance from our fundraising, but also just being there. So they've continued to work with the schools and do more cleanups in the lake. So it's continued. It's not just a one-time thing.
That's great.
And so it's kind of like something that is just, it's been there.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. So I wish that we had that here. Do we? I don't know. It would be nice if we had this kind of, working together here in the United States.
Yeah. Well, it was interesting because part of that, and I have to credit the Alpha and Moran Khan for organizing this, but there were a lot of groups that local groups that often don't have much to do with each other that had actually come together to support doing this. So we were there, but really much of the impetus was really the credit really goes to the Kashmiri delegates and to Alpha, I think. They earned my deepest respect in so many ways.
Are these nonprofits or?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're nonprofits, and they're both out of Seattle or?
Global Citizen Journey is out of Seattle. It's a nonprofit. Elf is out of Srinagar, out of Kashmir.
Okay, so they're based. That's their base.
Their base is in Kashmir. Yes.
Yeah. So the Seattle group connected with the Alpha group.
Right, and I have to credit Susan Partnow, who is our founder of Global Citizen Journey founder. I think I have a picture of her there somewhere. It's image 2, I think, but if you can find it or not. But, she and Ella Keblasek actually started this years ago. And she was the one who originally made the contact with Alpha. And she and her co-director, Irene Michon, had worked diligently for a year organizing this this project so that... it was a lot of work. It's a lot of work. It's a big commitment for everyone, I think, especially for the organizers. For us as participants, it was also a big commitment of our time and resources, but very worthwhile, I think. Very worthwhile. Yeah.
Not just that, but it's also all the preparation that you did before you went there. So the fundraising, the preparation, even the taking the time out. You were there for 3 weeks?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, 3 weeks. So that is quite a time, and all the, like you said, the resources and everything that was put in, but all worthwhile. So what would you say that moved you the most? Like, what stands out? What is the thing?
Well, I think the other one was visiting the schools that we had actually raised the funding for. And one of the moments, which unfortunately I recorded as a video, but apparently we weren't able to download that. But as we arrived in a school to visit, the kids were singing.
They were singing?
They were singing, and it was just exquisite. It just moved me to tears. It was lovely. It was in a language I don't understand, but the sense of welcoming was really tremendous. I do have a couple of other pictures that I think did come through the school visit, and that would be number six was one of the images there, if Carter can find that one. And I don't know, I can't see whether the image is there or not, but it was basically the group of small children who are now sitting on a nice carpet there, and for whom they were the sweetest group. They were a little bit shy at first because we're strangers coming in, but they warmed up very quickly and very appreciative of warm clothes that we left there.
Yeah.
But they were the sweetest group of children. I think they warmed everyone's heart.
Oh my gosh! And isn't that what the worthwhile mission is all about? Is that, for the children. Right?
There were a whole bunch of worthwhile moments there. That was one of them. Yeah. And I think there's another image there. It would be the one that I numbered eight. Of the girl. The children were just absolutely beautiful. And There was kind of a quiet dignity that they had, and a sweetness, and there was a sweetness everywhere, and a kindness, just a graciousness everywhere, and as well as there was a sense of sorrow that as you got to know people, you heard about that too, but it was very heartwarming everywhere.
I'm so glad that you brought us this gift today and sharing your story and sharing this message with us, inspiring us. And I just love the energy I'm feeling is, you know, the sweetness and the kindness that is that the children extended and that they're emitting this frequency. And I feel that, and I'm sending that love right back to them. We're going to take a break on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Introducing the Lucid Planet, a digital gathering place featuring cutting-edge, high-vibrational content that will empower and inspire you to become the greatest version of yourself. Visit the Lucid Planet today to stimulate your mind, body, and soul as you connect with a global community of like-minded people. The Lucid Planet is edited by renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly Neff, who is here to help you cope with anxiety, connect to your higher purpose, uncover your true passions, and live your dreams. Dr. Kelly's fresh, compassionate perspective emphasizes growth, transformation, healing, and thriving, even in the face of adversity. Say goodbye to bad news and low vibrational media for good and become part of the larger collective of people working together to navigate the global shift of consciousness and transform the world from within. Join the planet, the Lucid Planet. Visit thelucidplanet.com. Welcome home.
Ignite your inner magic on Grow Your Soul Radio with Jane Machanga. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio as host Jane Machanga explores how to overcome your fears to help you gain the inspiration you need to awaken your path to joy. Learn the way to life mastery and the enlightened path with Grow Your Soul Radio. For more information on Jane Machanga and her work, visit enlightened-path.com.
Would you like your next chapter to be free from fear and angst?
Tune in to Your Next Chapter Radio, navigating through life's transitions with Shelley Ryan the fourth Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Shelley's contagious enthusiasm guides you through life's transitions deliberately, mindfully, and funnily. For Your Next Chapter coaching or to listen, visit YourNextChapterCoaching.com or call 602-617-8351. Next!
Are you your story? Or can you change your story? Can you change what you believe to be true about yourself and your circumstances as part of your healing journey? What if you were to change your expectations? What if you were to invite ease and cooperation into every day and then step back and see what happens? It might just be easier. I'm Megan Edge, and I hope that you'll join me on my new radio show, Playing on the Edge, Radical Change with Ease, with my co-host, Dr. Pat, on Transformation Talk Radio. I look forward to seeing you there.
Want to find out more about Megan Edge?
visit her website at meganedge.ca.
My heart feels so warm from listening to the story that you shared about the children, how they were singing, and how appreciative they are, and just how sweet and kind and generous. And it just warms my heart. And I'm so grateful that you shared this with us, and that you decided to bring this story out so that we can highlight and inspire others that possibly also want to go to India or any other projects that your organization, the Kashmir organization, puts together from Seattle. What are they called again, and how can people get in contact?
Yeah, it's Global Citizen Journey. And if you Google Global Citizen Journey, you'll find the website. And Susan Partnow is the director of there. And all of the projects that I've been on with them have been absolutely fabulous.
Yeah, it's wonderful. What would you say, you know, impacted you the most with this journey personally?
I would say my world's a little bigger, you know, when you go to be in another place. I do that when I do. My world gets bigger. I have to deal with whatever my own I get to look at whatever my own cultural beliefs might be, my little cultural blind spots in a context of another one. And really, I feel like I've made friends that I will always have. There was such a kindness there. It touched my heart again and again and again. And I still have that. Just talking about it, I can kind of feel that.
I can feel it coming there.
There was a natural beauty of the place. There was just kind of like the senses. There were a lot of sensory kinds of impressions there. A lot of surprises that it's kind of like, oh, a surprise means, okay, I just learned something new. I found out something new that I didn't know was there before.
Yeah.
And so lots of, you know, and just the conversations, the inspiration of people there that really moved me to feel more, to basically just be more of a world diplomat. It's like, wow, there's a richness here.
Really being called, you know, to on a greater level now to come together as one global family, because we're all family, we're all connected, we're all one. And if one is suffering, we're all suffering. It affects mm-hmm. all. And that's really what we're being called to. One of our co-hosts, one of our radio hosts here on Transformation Talk Radio, Golden Otter Radio. It's Amber, and she is she's in the military, and her and her husband are getting an assignment now to go to Africa, and they're moving their entire family to Africa now, and that is in March. And it's really interesting, because I really truly feel that she's being called there, and I was telling her that I feel like she's really being called there to bring her compassion, her energy, her wisdom, her all the places that place is out of balance there. Now she's able to bring that energy there and support the women, support the children, support mm-hmm. the men. Mm-hmm. And with whatever the mission is. And I'm just like, wow, I'm blown away. And I told her that, you know, I want to come. I want to go there too. So it's definitely lighting a fire. And that's, I wanted to.
It's still the fire there. It's an excitement.
Yeah, it is. And that's, you know, like, this show, Living Heaven on Earth, because heaven on earth is the kingdom of heaven, lies within. We all have access to it. Just move into our physical body and know that the old parts of us that are dying away, that are no longer resonant to us, the patriarchal old energy of abuse, you know, resentment, anger, and all of that stuff is all falling away so that we can live in a higher vibrational way of living and being and co-create a new earth that is based on the things that that you inspired us with today. And that is, you know, working together, cleaning up our land, cleaning up our toxic land, supporting the children, supporting each other, and being good stewards of the earth. So I created this show, but I also created another show called The Millionaire Imprint, which is directly on right after this show. It's on every Friday, and that show is called The Millionaire Imprint for Women. And for the first 3 months, what that show was about, it was really about educating and clearing all the shame and energy that we've carried around money for a long time, and especially for women not being paid their value, not being respected and honored and equal pay. So in clearing that ancestral lineage, now the next season is already begun. And what that season is about is, now that we have cleared our ancestral lineage around money, now what are we going to do with it? Where are we going to put it? How are we going to be good stewards of our money? How are we going to grow our money? Mm-hmm. And part of the reason for me to create the Millionaire Imprint for Women was because, you know, women have felt so bad about money, not having the money in order to feed the children. Feel that. I mean, think about that. And when we really fully embrace that we are absolutely deserving and that we are absolutely worthy to have an amazing relationship with money, that money is an energy and that is there to support us. I am a millionaire in creation, and I am not a millionaire yet, but I'm choosing that. I'm creating that. I've set up a lifestyle for myself so that I can go and give to the grassroots projects that Dennis is talking about, because that's what we're capable of doing. We get to choose how we want to live and what it is that we want to create, because there's no victims. There's no victims here. We're moving beyond victimhood and retire the victim so that we can really fully step into our creative abilities as empowered creators. Yeah. And I created a course called The Keeper of the Garden, Dennis. It's a 21-day audio course. It's $21. And that course is about 10 minutes every single day to help people move into peace, to rewrite the story of their life, and to release the toxic emotions that are no longer part of your upcoming potential reality that you want to create. And so Facebook Live is going to happen on January the 2nd. You can still go get the Keeper of the Garden course right now at my website at corneliastephanie.com. And there is a tab that says Keeper of the Garden. And it's about being good stewards. It's about that we all take responsibility for our earth so that we can support each other the way that Dennis was talking about one of his enjoyments, how everybody came together there to support. And so I just want to tell everybody, and you know, for 21 days, if you are still emotionally reacting to the events that are happening outside of the world, there is healing that still needs to happen. And so that's why I created that course, to help other people release the energy that's no longer resonant for them in the comfort of their own home. 10 minutes a day, $21. Go get it for yourself. Go get it for your family. Go get it for your friends. I want to give it to all the people in India, and so that they can move through that process. Dennis, it has been an amazing show with you today. I want to thank you so much for being here. We're going to see you again next month, the last Friday of the month, and carry on this conversation. So thank you for being here. And we'll see you all again next time on the Cornelia Stephanie Show, Living Heaven on Earth. See you then.
Thank you. Bye, everybody.
You've been listening to the Cornelia Stephanie Show, Wake Up to Love, your call to action. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio. Cornelia's joy is to engage others in practical ways, showing us how to live in the new earth in harmony with our true nature. For more information on Cornelia and her extraordinary work, or to listen to past shows, go to her website at CorneliaStephanie.com.